All right, thank you for all of the different singing and all the different groups this morning in our Youth and Family Sunday, and thank you for being faithful and being in your place. I hope you'll be back here tonight. I'm not speaking specifically on family tonight, this morning. Tonight we have different split-up sessions, and we're going to have a great time with that, and then afterwards we're going to have food and eat together. And so I encourage you to come back tonight, and we'll have the special music again, and it's going to be very, very, very exciting. I know we're starting a little bit later than normal, so I'll talk fast, you listen fast, and we should be able to get to lunch before 2 o'clock. So I think we'll be really... See, the only advantage you have to make sure I don't go long is I get hungry too. So I get hungry, I just shut it down. We'll just stop right in the middle. We'll head to, I was going to say Burger King, but I don't eat there either. A couple weeks ago, I preached over the last few weeks a couple message about spirituality. It wasn't really a series, but it's kind of like morphed into one. We've looked at different aspects of spirituality and understanding what it is. And I want to hit another angle of that this morning in the short time that we have left. There's a couple things I really, really like. I like simplicity. Right? How many of you like simplicity?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, it's hard for me. We have a big family, and really our family, it's kind of like chaos all the time, right? And but I just like, give it to me, make it easy, make it simple. What do you got to do? You know the acronym KISS, right? Keep it simple, Simon. Okay, we won't say, oh, you're a Browns fan. No wonder you said that. But we make things really, really hard. You ever see a politician try to answer a question? Give them a yes-no question and see what happens. They won't answer it. They don't want to be simple. Another thing I like is I like winning. I like victory. I hate losing. That's why I could never be a Celtics fan, Brother Randy. Sorry, I just couldn't. The Lexington Lakers aren't doing very well either. I hate losing. I'll be honest with you. Our girls, we went to the New Mexico tournament, and our guys won the championship, but my girl doesn't play on the guys' basketball team. So we were watching the live stream of it, and they won the first game in the championship, and they were winning the second game, and they lost. And Jazz can tell you the truth. I started texting her, like, no, they're not supposed to be doing that right there. Tell so-and-so to stop that. And then I'm kind of like, wait a minute, I'm not the coach. You know, she's in New Mexico trying to have a good time, and I'm trying to coach the team long distance. Say, how did they do? Next year. We'll be better next year. You know how you win, though? Victory and simplicity go together. You follow simple steps, and that's, you win. I used to coach our guys' football team, and I called the plays. And we would send a guy in, and I'd give him a play, you know, like sweep left, triple option, blah, 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 blah. And I'd send the kid in, and they would go to the huddle, and I would count. 1, 2. If I got to 5 and they were still in the huddle, I knew what they were doing. They were making their own version of the play. And I'd be standing on the sideline. I'm like, quit talking. Do what I said. Because I know they're going to do their own thing. They have no clue what they're doing. I had a very simple strategy. That's what happens if you want to win. And sometimes, here's the problem. People want victory, but they don't want the process. People want victory, but they don't want to put the time in. Yeah. One more illustration before we get to the message. I am a Christian, therefore, I'm a Rams fan. By the way, Raiders, if you're a Raiders fan, you can wear your jersey next week. We're going to have a tattoo parlor in the foyer. You can get a tattoo that says, I like losing. I'm sorry. But the Rams were really bad for a long time. One year, I think it was 98, they only won 3 games. But something happened. They changed their roster a little bit, and one of the guys they brought in was a guy named Marshall Faulk.
Oh, yeah.
He was not only a good football player, he had some discipline. And I heard the story from him. He said the very first, this guy, this traded for him. The very first meeting, the very first day of spring training, they come in for their offensive meeting. He comes and he purposely sits in the front row. And the offensive coach starts to talk, and he said the guys weren't listening. He said he stood up. Said, Coach, can I have a question? He goes, what? He goes, can I go get some pencils and papers for these guys? Because I'm pretty sure you're going to say something we're going to want to remember. And every guy there quit messing around. You got to do the right things to win. You got to have the right processes. Do you know that's true in a spiritual sense? And we're going to see that this morning. The passage in John chapter 8 happens right after the woman that was caught in adultery. And we, if you know that story, it was a setup, and they were trying to catch Christ, and they're trying to get him in this thing, and he goes through the whole thing with them. And so when he's done, there's a crowd around there, and he starts speaking to them. Many of those that would come to see Jesus preach, and that's why they brought the woman in adultery, they're just trying to catch him up. They're trying to trip him up. They're trying to find something that they can be antagonistic towards him. And so that crowd's there, and they're starting to do it. And so he starts to make claims about who he is. And he starts to talk to him about what he's trying to accomplish. And of course, the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with it. But there were some who were present who believed on him. And as I look at this, I see he gives some things in there that if we were to follow, that would give us a clear path to spiritual victory. And by the way, let me just say this. If you're a Christian, you only have one of two options. You can live in spiritual victory, or you can live in spiritual defeat. I think I mentioned before, Tim Tebow said that he was in like Pop Warner football. His very first year ever playing football, he goes there, and he's just a kid. He's like 8. And he said, his coach got up and said, now, kids, let me just tell you something. What we're doing has nothing to do with winning. We're just here to have a good time. And Tim Tebow said, as an 8-year-old, he raised his hand and said, I thought this was America. You're wrong. It is about winning. Okay. Now, I'm not necessarily saying we should advocate for that, but if I put my kid on a team, coach says it's not about winning, I'm like, let's go. We'll go find somewhere where it is. Amen. You say, well, we may not always win. I know. I coached our JV football team. We won 3 years in a row, and we lost the championship game the fourth year, and one of our players threw himself on the ground, and I walked up, and I said, get up. We shook their hand they shook our hand every time they lost. It's our time to shake our hand because they won. I wanted to win. But why would we accept defeat when we don't have to? Why would I want to be a Christian and live a life that's subpar, it's nowhere near what God offers to me, and be happy about it? You say, Pastor, what is it all about? It's pretty simple. He gives us some very simple steps, but we have to put them into practice. Years ago, Pastor Esposito said, I want you to read this book. It was a book called Execution, and I thought it was about how you get rid of church members you don't want anymore, right? But I'm kidding. I read that book. Brother Grant, you ever read that?
No, sir.
Okay, you don't have to bother. Here was the whole point of the book is this. Plans are great, but you have to actually follow them. If you don't follow them, the best plan is worthless. So why don't we follow God's path of victory? I'm going to give you a few things of that this morning. You say, does God really want me to have a victorious Christian life? Yeah, think of salvation as a gift because that's what it is. When you open that gift and receive salvation, there's a lot of good things inside that box. The problem is we just want the outside of the box and are not willing to dig in. We're like the kid that gets a Christmas present. He opens the toy, takes it out of the box, and plays with the box. The toy's a lot funner. And so what's wrapped up there? What is it? Well, let's look at some things. Look at verse 30 of John chapter 8. The first thing we need to understand, and this is a big one, we get victory by assurance of our salvation. And as he spake, verse 30, these words, many believed on him. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. See, the first thing we need to understand if we're going to go forward as a Christian is the fact that we really are saved. We are. And we walk around sometimes in doubt, and doubt is an absence of faith. And if you can't get that first thing nailed down, you're never going to go forward. Assurance of salvation. That's what victory is. I don't like this mentality from some people. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm glad that's done. God says, no, 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 no. There is so much more wrapped up inside of that. Don't miss it. God saved you for a reason. If God doesn't have a better reason for us on this earth, why doesn't he just take us to heaven when we get saved? Because he has things for us to do. He has a life for us to live. Amen. Trusting in Christ, that's the beginning point. If you're not saved or you can't understand you're saved, you're going to have trouble being in the game. That's why we often ask, and I'll ask it again today. I'm not even going to hide it. Are you 100% for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Amen. Or do you have some doubt? That's how I got saved in church service. They asked that question at the end, and I walked down and got saved. But you know, I had to have a foundation of that in my life. And once I got saved and I started learning about it, I was really set in, I am saved forever. And God has so much more. The Bible gives us all kinds of pictures of salvation. It's like being born again. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be born again? That's a good picture. You see, when we sinned, our spirit was dead in sin. And when we received Christ, that spirit was born again. It is now alive. That's why he told Adam and Eve, the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree, you will die. Did they die physically? No, they died spiritually. And Ephesians tells us we're quickened. You have been born again. Your spirit was dead in its sin, and now it's alive. It's being born not just again. It's being born into the family of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. Do you understand? You were born into God's family. Amen. I have 7 children. They're always going to be my children. They could say, you know what, Dad? I'm tired of this family. I'm out of here. You're not my dad anymore. But they have my DNA, and that's never going to change. You know, when you were born, you now have, in a spiritual sense, you got God's DNA inside of you. You are part of his family, and there is nothing you can do to change that. And so why don't we become secure in that? It's like receiving a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad that God gave us the gift? It's having your name written in the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the bad part. The good part is if your name is in the book, you're not going to the lake of fire. God's put it, but you know, there's a new name written down in glory. So I was thinking of the other part. We used to joke around, there's a new name written down in pencil. And the angels have a big eraser. No, they don't. It's written in the blood of Christ. That's never going to change. And you say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal. I've talked to people like, do you know that for sure? And they're like, nobody can know that for sure. Let's walk through that for a minute. Something as important as where you're going to spend your eternal destiny, do you really want to figure it out after you die? Because it's too late then. And God did not want us to have to figure it out after we die. He's like, you can know for now. You can know for certain. If you're saved, God wants you to have that assurance. Let's move past that, brethren. I was texting with someone recently, and they're like, I just feel and all this. And they're doubting their salvation. Let's move on from that. God wants us to know for sure. So we have assurance of our salvation. That's the starting point. And by the way, if you're here this morning, you don't even know what that means. We can help you with that later. Secondly, by continuing in Scripture. Verse 31. If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Indeed. You know, once a baby's born, it needs to be fed. Once a baby's born, it needs to go from there. How do we do that? We continue in his word. You do understand that a sign of a healthy child at birth is a healthy appetite, right? They have to eat. They have to want that. Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And he wants us to just get into his word, but he wants us to continue in his word. That means remain. That means stay there. That's why. That's our discipleship program we do. That's the name of it. Continue on. We don't just, look, I'm glad you come to church, and I'm glad this place is filling up and it's full every week, but I don't just want you to come to church. I want you to know God. I want you to continue in His Word. Let me ask you this. Is this, look, when we get up, and I'm not trying to be condemning or mean-spirited in any way, but let me throw it out. Is the only time you read scriptures when Daniel gets up and reads it in our church service? And by the way, that's good. I want us to read scripture in the service. But is that, you say, Pastor, I don't have a Bible. Let's get you a Bible. Let's get into the Word. Let's continue in the Word. We must be consistent in two ways when it comes to God's Word. Consistent in reading it. It does great things for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And here's why we ought to get into it. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It teaches us the things that are right. It teaches us the things that are wrong. It teaches us how to live the things that are right and how to stay away from the things that are wrong. But that's why you get into scripture. But you know another way? You come to church and hear it taught in Sunday school. You hear it preached behind the pulpit. A couple verses after 2 Timothy 3 is 2 Timothy 4, and it tells us, particularly me as a pastor, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, and then it gives those four things, really the same things that we get from reading it: reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. See, God wants us just to be immersed in His word. Amen. Continue. Well, I want to be a disciple of Christ. If you're not in His word, you can't be. So we get saved and we get past, it sounds kind of weird to say that, right? We get past salvation, you never get past it. But you know what I'm saying? We get past that starting point and now we want to grow and we get into the Word. Continue in the Word. How's your relationship with the Word of God? Thirdly, we hit victory by committing to steps. Committing to steps. He said, if you continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples. I don't believe that you are a disciple just because you're saved. I think you're a disciple because you're willing to take on requirements. Jesus said several times in the Gospels, if you don't do these things, ye cannot be my disciples. By the way, you know, let's go back to assurance of salvation. You know what you got to do to become a Christian? Nothing. I was going to say nada. Zero, zip, zilch, nothing. You trust Christ, He did it all. But to be His disciple now, we got to do what He says. And encouragingly, that comes in steps. We don't just, if I'm continuing in His word, I am going to grow. And the more I continue in His word, the more committed I am going to be to Him, and I'm going to take these steps of growth. You have to. There is nobody here that you're going to get saved. If you're not saved, you're going to get saved and you're like, hey, everything He says I'm supposed to do, I'm already doing. Come on now. Yep. I've been saved a long time and I'm not doing everything He says I should be doing. I try. And I'm a lot closer than I was a long time ago, but I still got to grow, and so do you. You need to take those steps. Your goal should be to be a disciple of Christ, to take the things upon yourself, and it really is in being committed. If we are committed to His word, we will develop a certain lifestyle, and it's a lifestyle of a disciple, one who follows somebody. And that ought to be obvious, by the way. People ought to look at us, and not in a self-serving, pharisaical, nonsensical, but there ought to be something in our life to say there's something different about those people. So if we tell them we know Jesus Christ, they're not shocked. They're like, you know, I knew there was something there. I knew there was something a little bit different about you. Being committed to the Bible will change your life. You say, well, Pastor, I'm doing this thing and my life's not changing. Then you're not committed to it. If you love me, keep my commandments. I keep my commandments, it changes my life. So I would strive to be a disciple. Number four, you say, how many points are there? I ain't telling you. I don't want you to do the mental math. By progressing to stability. By progressing to stability. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth, verse 32, shall make you free. You know, I have found this. A lot of Christians that grow, they're not stable. In other words, they make progress, but they don't become stable there, and then they go back. You know, we're trying to gain ground. We're not just trying to gain ground. Once the ground is gained, we're trying to maintain that ground so we can go forward. We want to continue on in victory. And God doesn't want us to do the roller coaster thing. That might be fun at Six Flags, but it's not fun in the Christian life. It comes with a lot of consequences. But God wants us to be stable. How is that? The truth makes us free. The farther we get in our growth in salvation, the farther we're getting away from sin. And the farther we get away from that sinful lifestyle, the more stable we're going to be. When I got saved, and this is a sinful lifestyle, I was right in it. And then I got saved, and I stepped right here. And then I went through that growth process, and I was hanging on to some of that stuff, and I was making some steps. And then finally, I was like, you know, this needs to go. I realized I loved them and everything, but some of the friends I hung around with, I couldn't hang around them anymore. We didn't have cell phones and texting, and so I just avoided them. And they showed up at my doorstep one Friday night, which I usually was not home on Friday nights. They're like, what are you doing? What happened? You die? Like, no, I'm a Christian now. And they're like, huh? They left pretty quick. Right. Now, I brought some of them to church, and some of them got saved, and I cared about them, that type, but I couldn't go hang with them. And the music I was listening to and all these things, and I started to grow. And some of the things that were holding me back and my sinful life, I kind of just got farther and farther away. I still fight sin, don't get me wrong. But the overt things were gone pretty quick. Then God's like, you really think you got it nailed now? Let's start chipping away at the inside. I'm like, great. When does this end? I don't know. I'll let you know when I get there, okay? But we have to progress. And the more we progress in our spiritual life, the more stable you're going to be. You don't have to have drama in your life all the time. I don't want to live that way where there's constantly drama in my marriage and drama with the children and drama where I work, although I do have a lot of that, some of the staff, but drama and all this stuff and just constantly from one to, I don't want it. Now, there are things in life we all have to deal with, but the problem and the worst ones are the self-inflicted drama. I want to get to stability. I want him to make me free. And I was free from those things that I used to be attached to. Stability. That's a sign of maturity, by the way. Hebrews talks about maturity and stability. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He says, hey, you're not taking this seriously. We got to take heed to it, or else we're going to start to slip and go backwards. No, he wants that stability. What happens when we do that? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not strong drink. He goes, listen, you're spiritually mature enough, you ought to be stable enough to be, in essence, a teacher of what you know, but you're still back here in Babesville. Come on. You ought to be eating spiritual meat instead of drinking milk. Somewhere down the line, I don't know, about 20 years, I quit drinking milk. Half and half, you need that because you pour it in coffee. Okay? But you know what? I ain't giving up steak. Oh, but Pastor, PETA, people eating tasty animals, I'm in. If God did not want us to eat cows, and he shouldn't have made them out of meat. All right, let's move on quickly here. But I like steak. I don't want a glass of milk. What do you want for dinner? Milk? Nope. I want pizza. Okay, so give me something good. Why? But you know what? Now, you say, well, Pastor, okay, yeah. But that's what we settle as Christians. We're settling for this stuff over here, and we're tripped up in our doctrine, and we're tripped up in our beliefs because we don't know the things we should based on how long we've been saved because we're stuck back here. Let's move forward. There's stability. Next, and then we go from liberation, we get liberation from slavery. Verse 32, and the truth shall make you. Why does it need to make us free? You only need to be made free if you're not free. You're in bondage. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's a victorious place. You say, Pastor, I don't do any of this Christian stuff, or I'm new, and I'm free. No, you're not. You know, the worst bondage, listen to me, someone said this once, the worst bondage you can be in is a bondage you don't even realize that you're in. Some people don't realize that there's a better life. We've bought the lie of what society is telling us, and we don't even realize. Look, when I got away from that life I grew up in, and I started living for the Lord, and I started experiencing freedom, I'm like, this is good. The stuff I thought was like, you know, goody two shoes and, you know, you want to be a nun or all that. That's the good stuff over there. Amen. And I look back at my life, I'm like, that was the bondage. I wasn't free. I'm free to do my own thing. Then why do we do what everybody else does? And I'm not being political. I won't even mention. There are things in our society. You ask somebody, hey, is there this or that? And they won't answer you even though they believe the truth because they're afraid of what people out there are going to say. I'm not. You don't even realize you're locked into this lifestyle. Oh, pastors, there's moments of pleasure. I know. The Bible talks about there's pleasures in sin for a season. And by the way, it's short. And then comes the payoff. Freedom. I want to be free. Free to what? Free to serve the Lord. Free to not experience the negative consequences that come with living a disobedient life. Really, let's go to the message. Free from defeat. Defeat. I've coached so many of our teams, all of them. We've won championship and we lost. I didn't mind losing if another team was better than us. But, you know, I really got upset when we lost and I'm like, there is no way in the world that team was better than us. We just didn't do what we were supposed to do. And you know what? We live our Christian lives and we experience defeat and it's just like, you know, that's just how it is. No, it isn't. That's just how you've decided for it to be for you. God offers something so much better. The Christian life is so much better. So what's the conclusion of the whole matter? You can have victory. You just have to be 100% committed. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm going to do 50-50. Doesn't work. The Christian life... God did never design the Christian life to be lived in victory without 100% commitment. Look what Jesus said. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. If you don't do that, you can't be my disciples. You're not going to get there. Don't settle for something less than what God has for you. This is the most exciting thing you can do. The best life. Pastor, I want to look back at the end of my life and say, man, I got it all. Follow Christ. Oh, no, but I want to have money. Doesn't satisfy. Some of the most miserable people in this world are millionaires. Say, well, Pastor, what if I serve God? He makes me a millionaire. Tithe. Okay? But we're looking in all the wrong places. God says, just trust me. I got this for you. So are you experiencing victory this morning? Are you continuing in the scripture? Are you committed to the steps? Are you progressing, trying to be stable? Are you experiencing freedom from slavery? And are you assured of your salvation? It's simple. You suppose it's just too simple. I know the Bible's a pretty simple book, but it has to be followed. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute, if we may. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute. Are you experiencing victory this morning? Any good coach will tell you if your team loses, what they do is they go back to the drawing board. What did we do? They look at film. They try to look at things and say, hey, did I mess up here? What caused us to lose? Well, why don't we do that in our Christian life? When we experience something that's not just a something we're dealing with because it's just a natural thing of life, but it's something that's self-inflicted, why don't we ever stop and say, is there something in my life where I've disconnected from God? where I'm not doing what I should be doing. I'm out of the scripture. I'm not spending time with God. You say, Pastor, that's just way too simple, because it's reality. Maybe you're here this morning, and let's go back to the first one. This is vital. Are you assured of your salvation? Have you ever come to the place where you've trusted Christ as your Savior? You knew you were a sinner. You knew that sinners deserved hell. You know that your name's not written in the book. You know that you're not in God's family. You know you've not been born again. Because if you were, you'd know it. And I'm not saying that to be condemning at all. I'm saying that to encourage you, like someone encouraged me in a church service many years ago. Let's get it settled. You 100% for sure? With nobody looking around, if that's you, if you would say, Pastor, I am not 100% for sure. I don't know if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. And I couldn't even give you a reason. But Pastor, I would like to know that today. Pastor, would you pray for me? If there's anybody like that, I'll put your hand up. I'll pray for you and put it down. Yes, I see you down here. Yes, back there. Let's get that settled back here. Can we stand together this morning, please? Maybe you're saved, and maybe God's word just hasn't been that important to you, being faithful to it. Maybe when it comes to making steps of progression, you'll do it every now and then. You'll allow yourself to get away from it. You're not making solid ground. You're still experiencing some of the bondage or the things you ought to be breaking free of. The piano is going to play. If God spoke to you at all, why don't you come to this altar? That's why we open it. Maybe you just want to be strengthened. Like, Lord, I want that victory. And once you win, the thing is, you want more. You want more.